Oh, there is always hope. One of the most exciting parts of my entire life is having the opportunity to come in contact with how real and present our Lord is and how desperately interested in our success He is. So I just don't see situations where I believe are beyond His miraculous ability to intervene and help people be successful. So I'm very encouraged, even though sometimes it does look quite bad.
Break through all my doubts, break through all my fears, break through that I may worship you.
Words you just heard from Robert Paul, who's the author of a number of leading studies on marriage and improving the quality of marriage. And today on the Homeward Broadcast, we're looking at the drastic steps sometimes necessary in rescuing a marriage relationship. From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Hey, if you want to have a sneak peek as to what it's like to be an APU undergrad, you can visit apu.edu/blogs and read what real students have to say about their experiences, even if they're maybe having a professor like Dr. Jim Burns leading them in classwork. Okay, let's get to this right now. Part one of a very, very important two-part conversation on rescuing your marriage relationship. Here now is Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A very special day. We're talking with Bob Paul, Dr. Robert Paul, rescuing your marriage relationship. You know, there's a lot of people who are struggling in marriage. Marriages in crisis can be restored, I believe, and you believe that too, I hope. And it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of support, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Bob Paul is the co-president of the National Institute of Marriage and is the director and primary innovator and creator of what is a very highly acclaimed intensive program. It's done in Branson, Missouri, as well as a couple of other places. His programs are having remarkable success, helping couples, including those in extreme crisis, achieve successful and deeply satisfying marriages. Always great to have you with us on our program, Bob.
Great to be back, Jim.
Welcome here to Southern California. Beautiful day today.
Oh, my gosh. You know, we just got 8 inches of snow in our area, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, that is nice to have you here, and I don't want to rub that in too much. You've lived here in California, so you know sometimes about this great weather. Bob, we're talking today about rescuing your marriage relationship. You obviously are a seasoned therapist, author, nationally known speaker, wrote a great book called Finding Ever After. And yet, what you've said before is that a lot of times couples come to you, maybe they've been married 10 years, maybe they've been married 20 years, their marriage is broken. Perhaps they've separated, they're arguing a lot, they're having problems with finance, they're having problems with their children, they're almost married single. Now they're talking about the divorce word, but they still want to try to get some help. Is there hope for that person?
Oh, there is always hope. As I've told you before, one of the most exciting parts of my entire life is having the opportunity to come in contact with how real and present our Lord is and how desperately interested in our success He is. So I just don't see situations where I believe are beyond His miraculous ability to intervene and help people be successful. So I'm very encouraged, even though sometimes it does look quite bad.
Right. And so it's fascinating because I think a lot of people would say, oh, this is over. In fact, sometimes even marriage writers and therapists will say, give it up. There's no hope. But what you're saying is, no, you've seen some pretty tough marriage situations and that oftentimes they can be restored if people will put the time, energy, effort, and allow God to help in this as well.
Well, yeah, we probably have 70% of the couples, and we've seen thousands of couples now who come to us believing there is no hope, believing that there is no way humanly possible that this could work out. But they hear that miracles occur at the National Institute of Marriage, so they will give it one last try, even if divorce papers are already drawn, and they've pretty much given up. You know, they're open to a miracle, and that's all they have to be. And we see those kind of miracles so often, they're almost commonplace. You know, they still catch you and you look right back and go, wow, how did that happen? And it's beyond my ability to understand, but it does happen.
That's fascinating. Now, when you meet with couples, what indicates to you that their marriage is in crisis?
I think that their report of where they're at is probably the first thing. You know, they come in saying, we're in a mess. You know, this looks hopeless. We've tried everything. We've been to multiple counselors oftentimes, and they're just miserable. And it looks as if there is no way that they can see a way out of the woods. And that's probably the main thing. People are hurting. You know, it's really not for us to go around telling people, you know, your marriage is kind of stinky. You might want to get help. We don't have to. They'll come and tell you.
Right. So they're arguing. There's some unresolved quarrels. There's threats of separation, maybe even serious contemplation of divorce. They walk into your office and say, well, we're looking for this miracle. We're a little bit willing to do something. What practically do you do next as a therapist?
Well, and also keep in mind, sometimes it's not just that they're in conflict. Sometimes it's that they've drifted so far apart that there is, you know, they feel as if there's nothing there. They have no feelings at all. It feels dead. And that can be as devastating as you know, the ongoing conflict. At least there's some life and liveliness in the conflict. You know, so the first thing we want to do is, you know, connect with them and get clear on what they're wanting. Give them an opportunity to state what their desire is. And, you know, we let them know that our definition for success in a marriage is two people thrilled with their marriage. So that we're not trying to put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound and say, hey, you know, we just want you to learn how to suck it up and you know, and find a way to endure. We're going to say, you know, what is it going to take for you to be thrilled?
And well, how when they're at a place where they're just weary from it, how do you move them to getting thrilled? I mean, how do you unblock it? You know, I was thinking about a couple that Kathy and I were praying for, and Kathy used the word breakthrough. Lord, please give them a breakthrough. I mean, how do you get to that breakthrough?
I think one of the first things you probably want to do is help them find an inkling of hope. And, you know, without hope, that's where people really start feeling dead. I mean, you can endure an awful lot. You can persevere quite a bit if you have at least a sense that there is a possibility. And one of the places that causes people to give up is they look forward and they say either it's not worth the effort, and partly because beyond that is the deeper place, which is there really is no hope. So the first thing I want to do with them is to look at them and ask them, okay, what is it that you're really longing for? What is it that you're really needing? Where is the pain? And what would you like to see different? And when and people start having an opportunity to share what's going on with them and what their longings are and what their hopes would be and what would excite them. And then we start saying, okay, well, I get that. And we realize that for a marriage to be successful, it's got to have room for both people to have what they're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, as I think I've mentioned before, my wife and I have had awful difficult times in our marriage earlier on for many years. And I think if you were to ask either one of us right now how we feel about our marriage, we would both say that we were thrilled. But if you were to ask us specifically why, you'd get a different answer from each of us. And who cares as long as we're both thrilled? It doesn't matter if we're thrilled for the same reasons.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because a lot of times when I'm in a conversation with a couple, and maybe I'm speaking at a conference or something, and they walk up and it's not looking good, I'll ask a question. You know, what attracted you to each other in the first place? And many times their eyes will kind of light up, and well, it was this or that. Well, what's not working now? And many times you use the word drifting. Many times it's because they drifted from some of the priorities that they had when they said I do to each other. Do you see the same thing? This drifting, it's not so much even sometimes intentional. It just sort of happens. They sort of neglect some of the basics and then they drift. And next thing you look up and they're kind of lost in their marriage.
I see that a lot. Sometimes they change, you know. They literally get to a point where something that was important to them early on is less important now, and this becomes more important. And if the couple doesn't know how to accommodate that, to make room for people to grow and to expand and to, you know, develop into who they were created to be, and they don't know how to make enough room in the marriage for that, it can start feeling crowded and just unpleasant.
You know, Kathy and I were talking not too long ago to a group of actually MOPs, mothers of preschoolers, but one of the things I heard Kathy say that I kind of said, yeah, I think she's right, that one of the real tough times in our marriage was when our kids were in teens and preteens. Our kids are now 20, 22, and 24. before. But it was because we were moving toward a child-focused marriage. So we were taking away some of the basics of our marriage because we were always so busy driving kids around and doing all that kind of stuff. That can be another thing where instead of putting it the priority of the marriage, they become so child-focused that they lose doing some of the things that they know to be good for bringing a marriage together.
Well, you stop investing in your marriage. I mean, that's a big, big problem. And you don't do it intentionally. I mean, we're busy people today, and our kids are involved in a million different activities. And it's, you know, juggling all that and figuring out how to make the calendar work is something that's a setup for that. And unless couples today are very intentional about making sure that there still is time to invest specifically in them, their relationship, and growing that relationship, aside from the investment in the children, it'll tend to get neglected and left to the side.
Well, that's important. When we come back, I want to also talk about loneliness. I know that a lot of times when a couple is in crisis, they oftentimes will say they are incredibly lonely. And yet I know that loneliness is also designed by God to sometimes draw people toward Him. We'll be back. Bob Paul with us. He's the co-president of the National Institute of Marriage. He's the director of a great program called the Intensive Programs, and we're wanting you to hear more about that. National Institute of Marriage, we've got a link on our website today on it. Roger?
It's easy to get to it, too, by the way, Jim. If you go to the radio broadcast section at homeward.com and hit that tab, what it'll do is it'll give you a listing of all the different programs. We have our half-hour daily, half-hour weekly, one-hour weekly, and then our 60-second short feature. You're listening to what has been originally broadcast as the half-hour daily on terrestrial radio, and so what you'll do is you'll look in that category, and you'll go to the broadcast listing for February 13th. You'll see Bob Paul's name there. Go ahead and click on it. It takes you right to the National Institute of Marriage website, and you can learn more about everything that we're talking about today here on the Homeward Broadcast. We highly recommend Bob's books, and we highly recommend that you look into Dr. Jim Burns' book on marriage as well, Creating an Intimate Marriage, the workbook, the curriculum, all that goes with that. When you order Creating an Intimate Marriage by Dr. Jim Burns from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we are completely listener-supported, so we truly appreciate you checking that out. So check us out online today at homeward.com. That's homeward.com. And now let's continue with the conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Here once again is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, Dr. Robert Paul with us, Rescuing Your Marriage Relationship. Boy, is that an important conversation. Bob Paul is the co-president of the National Institute of Marriage. He's a seasoned therapist, author, nationally known speaker, wrote a great book called Finding Ever After. I really appreciated that book. Today we're talking about how you can rescue your marriage relationship, and it is possible. As I said before, marriages in crisis can be restored, but you know what? It's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take a lot of support. I think it needs God's help as well. Bob, as we were talking about all the issues of, you know, kind of a crisis marriage or whatever, actually, in many ways, you've given a lot of hope. But what I find is that when people are struggling in their marriage, and if their marriage is in crisis, they feel incredibly alone. You know, loneliness just seems to kind of pervade their life. You know, they're kind of married singles. I was reading once where a couple who was very busy, and they were great parents, and they were active in the church, but they'd fall in bed 6 inches apart from each other, but miles apart relationally. Do you find that loneliness is a major part of a marriage in crisis?
Oh, it's huge. You know, people today have an expectation when they marry that they will experience real closeness. And as lonely as a person can feel when they are really alone, I don't think it even can hold a candle to how lonely they can feel when they are near someone and can't connect with them.
Right.
It's so deep, it's so profound, it's so miserable when their desire would be to be able to connect and experience that closeness. So it's a very common problem. People begin to close up and get a little protected or a lot protected, and that there's a disconnect between them, an inability to really join. And it's a very unhappy place.
Well, typically that same person not only probably is lonely with their husband or their wife, but then they are lonely because they maybe are in a marriage that's in crisis, so they don't want to tell people, so they don't have a support system around them. I know Roger had mentioned the book, Yes, Your Marriage Can Be Saved, and one of the things that Joe and Michelle Williams talk about is you must have a support system to kind of move it back toward wholeness. Do you see the same thing?
Absolutely. I think that something that's changed in our culture that's made this so difficult is that there's been a real breakdown in our community structure. And many of us have a hard time finding outside relationships that we can keep going and be involved in. So what's happened is that we look to marriage now, and we look to our spouse oftentimes to be close to our everything. So many of our emotional needs are looked to be met by our spouse, and it's a tremendously challenging burden to place on one person, whereas in days gone by, and I think what would be even more ideal, is that we have enough other relationships so that we have reasonable expectations for our spouse and for that relationship, but it doesn't have to be everything. Yeah. We can get a lot of those needs met and have meaningful relationships otherwise. So to have a support network and to be able to cultivate and develop other meaningful relationships that support what you're trying to do and really support the health of your marriage can be really terrific.
No, I see that. You know, it's funny because I often say I'm a better husband and a better father because I'm in a support group. This morning, I was in my support group today. We met and we talked. Interesting enough, we were going through a Bible study on the Psalms, but, you know, the prayer request and the conversation before and after, it was about family issues and even the prayer request. One, two, three of the five of us, three different prayer requests about, you know, the relationship with their spouse. Not that these guys are in crisis. These are my mentors, but at the same time, you know, they're going to bump into each other just because they're, you know, Christ followers. So the support network seems to be so strong. Now, another thing that Joe and Michelle Williams talk about in their book, Yes, Your Marriage Can Be Saved, and that's the book that we're talking about in some ways today, is that we're to identify secret motives. A lot of times we don't know our motives, and so our motives get in the way of a good relationship when our marriage is in crisis as well.
Oh, very much so. Sometimes, you know, those motives can be a variety of different things. Sometimes it can be we have a motive to avoid facing things that we're uncomfortable facing. And we can structure our life and our relationships as a way to enable us to avoid those things.
Right. Well, you know, when you say that, a lot of times you'll hear of people who come from a family where there's major dysfunction. It could be, you know, maybe there was an alcoholic father or an absent father or a mother who was emotionally abusive or whatever. And so they kind of don't know how to do intimacy in many ways. And so what they tend to do then is not even understand why they're acting the way they're acting. And sometimes maybe a good counselor is going to help them understand, well, this is why I'm not being as responsive in terms of intimacy or relationship. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. When people can connect the dots and actually see how what they're doing and the life strategy that they've adopted is a way to sort of in a backhanded way try to deal with this other problem over here, and they see that, and then they say, oh, gosh, it's really not working for me. It's not getting me what I'm wanting. I wonder if there's another way I could do that. That would be better.
No, that's very good. You know, Bob Paul, co-president of the National Institute of Marriage. Roger, I kind of feel like he's our marriage therapist of the day. We're talking today about rescuing your marriage relationship. I was talking with somebody, Bob, just the other day, and they said, you know, I pray, and in fact, my husband and I periodically pray together, but we have a horrible relationship, and sometimes I feel like God is silent. Do you see people coming to you in that same manner saying, we want God's help, but we just don't feel like, you know, he's really there right now in terms of building this marriage together? We stood at an altar. We brought God into it. Now, we haven't done it perfectly, but, you know, I just feel he's silent. Do you have any advice to the person who says, yeah, I feel like he might be silent right now?
You know, there are times, Jim, when I think I've experienced times when God is more quiet. And a lot of times it is that there's some things that he's encouraging me to sort through on my own. But more often than not, I don't find that's the case. More often than not, I find that God is more than willing to be very active. What happens is that there are things that have gone on where I have closed off. I've gone into more of a defensive or protective mode. Maybe something's got me feeling uncomfortable or little anxious, and I kind of close up. And I would be closing up to my wife or to some other circumstance or relationship that I'm struggling with. But what I don't realize is that I've inadvertently closed the door to God. And it feels like he's moved away. And I'll tell you, the best example, someone has a major crisis, it's easier to see that. And so many times they say, where was God in the midst of that? And it feels like he abandoned them. And what they don't realize is that in fear, when we go into that protective place and we hunker down and we close up our heart, that we have closed the door to the Lord's, and he doesn't have easy access, and he won't force himself on us. He'll stand at the door and knock, but he will not force himself into our hearts, into our lives. He's a real gentleman. And that feeling of him being distant and silent for me a lot of times is that I have gone into a protective state, shut him out, and then blamed him for not talking, not realizing how much I've created that.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. Oh, it's funny, I'm just throwing different topics out at you, but it seems to me in crisis, a lot of times crisis is accompanied with anger. A lot of times anger toward your spouse, anger sometimes be toward God, but a lot of times there's anger. And you see this in a crisis situation. Is anger good? Is anger bad? How do you get through anger to make it something that can put back to a healthy, hopeful marriage?
Anger is a lot of times a way to, first of all, anger is very purposeful. Anytime I get angry, if I really am willing to look at it honestly, I'm trying to accomplish something with my anger. It's oftentimes very unconscious, but for instance, if I would get angry at my children, when I really take the time to look at that, I want my kids to not do something that I'm concerned for their well-being over, or to not make me feel something I don't like feeling, even if it's protective of their well-being. And I want them to know that, you know, the next time they do that, this is what they're going to get. And it's very purposeful. Now, it's not that conscious for many of us. The other thing is, though, that when we get angry, we feel somewhat powerful. And the alternative is to allow ourselves to feel how powerless we really are in a situation and how vulnerable we feel. And we protect ourselves from knowing that. So I like to look with anger. There are ways in which it can be motivating, it can be energizing, and it can help protect us a little bit. But underlying the anger, there's always something that feels much more vulnerable. There's a fear or an insecurity or a place of pain or disappointment or grief, and we will hide behind the anger. So I'll acknowledge it with somebody and embrace it with them, but I really, in their best interest, would hope that we could go to a place of looking a little deeper and saying, you know, when you're ready, we might want to look at what's underlying.
That's good.
Here.
You know, the scripture says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall in the multitude of counselors." There is safety. And a lot of times, I think when a marriage is in crisis, they can't do it on their own. They need the insight of somebody like yourself, or a counselor, a local counselor, maybe even a pastor who can kind of help them work through some of the steps. And that brings the hope.
And just like me, I mean, honestly, when I get into a difficult place, it's nice when the Lord and I can kind of get off together, and He can help me see myself. But seeing myself accurately when I'm in the middle of a difficult place is just almost impossible sometimes. I need someone that I can go to who can be like a mirror and help to reflect back what they see so that I can see the things I can't. When I get into a conflict with my wife and I'm all upset, honestly, in that moment, I wear glasses. I can see my kneecaps, my hands as they're waving, and the rims of my glasses. And that's as much as I can see myself objectively at that point. Right. I need someone that can, you know, I can't see my own facial expressions or sense what it's like to be sitting with me and what the energy is that I'm projecting out. Yeah. And when someone can sit there and say, hey, you know, Bob, I just wanted you to know that this is kind of what I'm picking up. And you might not be aware of this, but when I was seeing you interact or hearing you tell your story, I kind of heard this, and a lot of times I'll go, yeah, I really wasn't aware of that. I kind of can see that now. So good counsel is just something that any of us human beings can really benefit
by. Well, that's good. And good counsel is what we're having today on this program. We're talking today about rescuing your marriage relationship. Unfortunately, the time is just going away so fast. You've got to come back next time so we can keep having this conversation.
Hey, I look forward to it.
Dr. Robert Paul with us. You know what? If you need to get some counseling, then I want to highly suggest that you go to your pastor, you go to a counselor, and you say, I need some help, and begin to work through the process of becoming whole. Sometimes before freedom comes some pain.
Yep. It's just like when you're working out. Someone, I think of a person in my world who just recently broke a bone and got the cast off, had to go back to the gym and start working out. And those first few workouts especially were very painful. It was kind of tender. But the healing process involved a little bit of pain as well. And if that's your story right now with your marriage, we encourage you to go to homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com, if you're not there already, and take a look at the resources available for married couples who are looking to improve the quality of their marriage. If you have a good marriage, you can make it great. If you have a struggling marriage, you can improve the quality of that marriage by the resources that you see at homeward.com. Jim's books, Closer and Creating an Intimate Marriage, are available for purchase. When you purchase those books from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. Of course, you can buy them anywhere. Also, if you're near the Southern California area on February 22nd and 23rd, the Refreshing Your Marriage Conference is coming up, and there's still space available available for you. It's a great Friday night and all-day Saturday event, and you can learn more about it at homeward.com, or I'll give you a website here, refreshingyourmarriage.com. All one word, refreshingyourmarriage.com. Check it out.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.